Hello there, this is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio. Today we look at a special day in the church year, which is celebrated on the 6th of January. It's called the Epiphany, the great revelation of the Christ child first being revealed to those outside of the Jewish race. In the East, where this festival originated, the Epiphany celebrates the baptism of Jesus, but for the Church in the West, from the 4th century on, Epiphany was, and still is, associated with the visit of the Magi, wise men to the infant Jesus. According to Matthew 2:11, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're starting today with a really unusual Christmas carol for you, the first ever North American carol. It was written by a French Catholic priest called Jean de Brébeuf, who lived and worked among Native Americans of the Huron tribe. He wrote this carol to teach them the Christmas message using their own language and their own culture. He used words and phrases they could identify with to explain words they never would have understood. So the word for God becomes the mighty Gitche Manitou. Swaddling clothes become rabbit skins. A stable is a lodge of broken bark. So here it is, the Huron Carol, sung by the tenors.
'Twas in the moon of winter time when all the birds had fled, that mighty Gitche Manitou sent angel choirs instead. Before their light the stars grew dim, and wandering hunters heard the hymn.
Jesus, your King is born. Jesus is born in his chassis. The tender babe was found, a ragged robe of rabbit skin enwrapped his beauty round. But as the hunter craves tonight, the angel song rang loud and high.
Jesus, your King, is born. Jesus is born in excelsis gloria.
Hymns reach right down and touch your spirit, don't they? This one does it for me. Here are some verses, though, which have been omitted from the original, which read, "The chiefs from far before him knelt with gifts of fox and beaver pelt." And what about this one? "They oiled his scalp many times, anointing his head with the oil of the sunflower." Isn't that quaint? "They oiled his scalp many times to show their respect and to honour the infant king." Let's reflect upon these chiefs from afar, these wise men, in our set reading for the day. But first a song about them, a traditional hymn sung at this time of the year, called As With Gladness, Men of Old. And the first verse says this: As with gladness, men of old did the guiding star behold. As with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. So, most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led by thee.
As with gladness, men of old did the guiding star behold. As with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. So, most gracious Lord,
the first part of today's reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 6. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." And the prophet goes on to say, "Whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Micah was the name of this prophet, but what was God saying to us through him in this last phrase? This king, this ruler who had come to govern and shepherd his people Israel, would originate from ancient times. This was John's thinking too in his gospel, where he explains, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And in verse 14 he goes on to say, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Christians call this belief the incarnation, God taking on human form. Here's a song called The Ancient of Days by Ron Canoli.
Blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee will bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not. Blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto the Ancient of Days.
From every nation,
from every nation,
all of creation,
all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days.
Every
tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. Exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
If Jesus had been born in any other place apart from Bethlehem, he could not have fulfilled this prophecy by Micah. And had it not been for the census decreed by Caesar Augustus, that every man should return to his own hometown to be registered for the purpose of taxation, then Joseph and Mary would not have been there at all. This song from my album Kaleidoscope of Characters tells us more of Micah's prophecy. It's called Bethlehem in the Land of Judah.
Bethlehem in the Land of Judah,
Land of Judah,
out from you.
Said that the wise men couldn't have been very wise at all if they went with their inquiry straight to Jerusalem where King Herod lived, for history claims that he was a tyrant and had had members of his own family murdered, whom he considered to be a threat to his throne. But we may assume that the wise men, being strangers, were not all that familiar with his ways until perhaps later. So let's read on to see what happened next. After Herod's scribes had told him what the ancient scrolls had to say about Bethlehem being the birthplace of this coming king. I'm reading now from verse 7. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me words that I also may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. They opened their treasure chests. They offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Here's a rap that I once wrote for children of Central Middle School, Wall's End, called There Was a Voice in Rama Rap, also from my album The Christmas Story. We performed this in our nativity play using puppets some time ago. Our music teacher, David McRae, provides the voice for King Herod, who was full of fury as a result of the wise men's inquiries, so much so that he gave the order that all male infants under the age of 2 were to be slaughtered, which incidentally fulfilled yet another prophecy by the prophet Jeremiah, which said, Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children, because they are no more.
I'm feeling aggravated and so infuriated. The wise men said they'd come back and they lied. They promised that they would when I told them they should. When I get my hands on them, they're gonna die. And now I got the hump in my throat, there is a lump, and I'm so devastated I cry. It's all been fabricated, the king has been created, and it's just another star up in the sky. But what if it's all true, this has come out of the blue? What a big almighty fuss this babe has made. My scribes were never faster to premeditate disasters. If I let him live, he'll put me in the shade. So I'll have him expurgated, and then annihilated, and I'll be liberated only then. If all children to an under by the sword I cast asunder in the pestilential town of Bethlehem. Go! Go!
So here we have King Herod, already fearful of losing his throne to a possible usurper, now realizing that the ancient prophecies of a coming king are about to come true. And so he decides that drastic action is necessary. I suppose these Jewish infants who were killed became the first martyrs for Jesus' sake. Countless numbers of Christians have been persecuted and killed ever since then, and in far greater numbers in today's world than in all the centuries that have gone before. Here's a beautiful song called the Coventry Carol, also known as Lulla Lulay, an English Christmas carol dating from the 15th century, which tells the tale of the murder of these innocents.
He had this day, this man.
All of these martyrs since early times had to do in order to save their lives was to deny their faith in Jesus. But they could not betray the one who had done them no wrong at all, only great good. For he had suffered and given his life for them, all the while praying for his persecutors. But these children had no say in the matter. If all this information has been too much to take in, then may I sum up the story, taken from a book called A Stocking Full of Christmas by Mark Stibb. He says, three kings came to see the king and asked him where the new king was born. But the first king told the three kings that he didn't know where the second king was. His advisers looked in the Bible, though not in First or Second Kings, and found that the second king was to be born in Bethlehem. So the first king told the three kings to find the second king and tell him, the first king, where the second king was, because the first king thought the second king was one king too many. But when the three kings found the second king, they realized he was actually the number one king, the king of kings, and that, compared to him, the other king and all other kings were really no kings at all. I do hope that clarifies things. But I doubt it. I've chosen an interesting song next, which is all about journeying in order to reach a destination. It's about exploration and discovering something magical at the end of the road. It's a song from the film Polar Express, which is all about the Santa magic, really, but it reminds me so much of the journey of the Magi. It has a beautiful line in it which says, "You have everything you need if you just believe." These wise men, these astrologers, ventured out into an unknown land, facing no doubt many difficulties and trials, but they were determined to reach their goal. And yes, they took a wrong turning, but they got there eventually by believing and stepping out in faith. They were convinced by their studies of stars in the night sky that something extremely unusual was about to take place, and they were willing to make that journey. And they say that the hardest part of a journey is the first step. Faith is all about stepping out and trusting and believing that God has a purpose for our lives and that at the end of it we shall see God and in him find all his promises fulfilled. Wise people seek him still. Here is Believe from Polar Express, sung by Josh Groban.
Children sleeping, snow is softly falling. Dreams are calling, like bells in the distance. We were seems the magic slipped away. We find it all again on Christmas Day. Believe in what your heart is saying. Hear the melody that's playing. There's no time to waste. There's so much to celebrate. Believe in what you feel inside and give your dreams the wings.
I'd like to finish today with a hymn that calls us to approach God in awe and reverence, with the gold of our obedience, the incense of humility, and a spirit of self-sacrifice represented by myrrh, which speaks to us of the anointed King of all kings who gave his life for us all. Kneel and adore him, the hymn says. The Lord is his name. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick on your Bedside Entertainment System. Please join us next week for more reflections on the Bible and some more beautiful songs. Here's an old Irish Christmas blessing for you. The light of the Christmas star to you. The warmth of the home and hearth to you. The cheer and goodwill of friends to you. The hope of a childlike heart to you. The joy of a thousand angels to you. The love of the sun and God's peace to you. Amen. Here's our final hymn, O Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness. Bye for now.